dealing with the Esau spirit. Esau, the son of Isaac, you know about him. You were taught the Bible from childhood. You know Rebecca. Rebecca had twins. When she prayed to God, he gave her twins. And when she brought them forth, she named the first one Isaac. And the second born, she called Jacob. And the boys grew. Hallelujah. And the boys grew and chose different paths. Different paths to life. They engage life differently. But Isaac favored Esau. He loved Esau because Esau took care of him. And Rebecca loved Jacob because Jacob was mommy's boy. When you look at the story, it's both sweet and bitter, and you will feel so sorry for Esau. You feel sorry for him because he lost in the battle for the father's blessing, even though he was born first. He was preferred by his father, and the father had reserved the blessing for him. But he lost it. And, you know, by implication, it altered his destiny. The blessing would have transformed him. He would have been, he would have been the forefather of Jesus. His lineage would have produced the seed of David. He would have been the one to establish the tribe of Israel. Maybe it would have been called the tribe of Esau. Possibly Israel, because Jacob was Jacob. He became Israel because of the blessing when he encountered God. Possibly Isaac would have been the Israel. A very powerful nation would have come out of him. But he lost it. And it's easy when you look at the story to conclude that, wow, that's destiny. That you couldn't have escaped that and all that. But actually, the path that we choose for ourselves, the lifestyle that we embrace, the values that we hold, they all contribute in forming our destiny. Hallelujah. Naboth prayed. Naboth had a different destiny. Jabez. Jabez had a different destiny. Thank you. Had a different destiny. They foretold from bed what he would be. But when he cried to God, God turned everything around. Hallelujah. And Jephthah and Gideon, and you can name men who encountered God and reshaped their destiny. So the makeup of Esau played into the outcome of his character, of his destiny. And this is why I think if you look closely at Esau, you identify certain spirits, which if you see them in your life, you must deal with them so you can move forward and achieve great success and finish well in life. If you are with me on that, say amen. Amen. Genesis chapter 25. And verse 27, Father, even as I minister Let the people hear your voice. Let the people understand what I bring. Let them receive it, and let it help to move them forward in life. Let my word minister liberation to us, many that will receive them. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Genesis 25, the Bible says, and the boys grew. And Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field. And Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison. But Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob sought portage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with the same portage, with the same red portage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. And Esau said, behold, I am at the point to die, and what profit shall this be to me? What profit shall this birthright do to me? And Jacob said, swear to me this day, and he swear unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and portage of lentils, and he did eat and drink, and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Genesis 27, verse 1 says, and it came to pass that when Isaac was old, his eyes were dim so that he could not see. He called Esau his oldest son, and said unto him, my son. And he said unto him, behold, here am I. And he said, behold, now I am old, and I know that the day of my death, and I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go out to the field, and take me some venison, and make me savory meat, such as I love, and bring to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son. And Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother. Blah, 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 blah. And she narrated all the story to Jacob, and they connived and camouflaged, and Jacob presented himself to Isaac, his father, as though he were Esau, and the father blessed him instead of Esau. Verse 19 of Genesis 27, it says, and Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau thy first. I have done according as thou hast biddest me. I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac said unto his son, how is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? And he said, behold, the Lord thy God brought it to me. And Isaac said unto Jacob, come now, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Isaac or not, my very son Esau or not. And Jacob went nigh unto Isaac, his father, and he felt him and said, the voice is Jacob's voice. But the hands are the hands of Esau. And he designed him not because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. Hallelujah. Now, you know, there was a story. There was a journey before it got here. Hallelujah. And everything had to do with Esau. You see, life is a game. Life is a battle. You know, what is yours can easily be taken away. Hallelujah. What you have, someone is interested in it. And someone may want to take it. That job, someone may want to take it if he gets the chance. Amen. As a matter of fact, even if you are married, people know that you are married. Someone wants your spouse. I have a pastor friend who is doing ministry with his wife, married with three lovely children. Someone in the church walked up to him, in the same church walked up to him and said, God showed me that you are my husband. He said, but I'm married. He said, well, I'm just telling you what God showed me. There's nothing that you have, even it be given it to you by God, that you cannot lose. Are you with me? It takes you to discover what your destiny is, to fight for it, get it, keep it, and maintain it until He calls you home. Your guarantee in life is knowing Christ and working with Christ as He leads you. Otherwise, you're going to lose everything. Praise the Lord. But this is my prayer for you, that which is yours, no man can take away. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus. Now, so what you need to do is take a close look at Esau. How come he missed it? The father loved him. The father reserved a blessing for him. But he still missed it. You know, I know there were some games at play and all that. But he lost in the whole of it. Now, the first thing I think you must do, because that was not what Esau did, is that you don't make, listen to me, don't make important destiny impacting decision when you are feeling tired, frustrated, and angry. Are you with me? Jacob didn't understand that principle. There was something at work in Jacob. Esau. There was something at work in Esau that he didn't understand that. That you don't make important destiny impacting decision when you are feeling tired, frustrated, and angry. Hallelujah. And life will throw all kinds of situations at you. And once in a while, you find yourself at that place where you feel tired with your job, or tired with your marriage, or tired with your education. You feel frustrated. You feel fed up with things. When you feel that way, it's not the time to make decisions. Any decision you make out of that feeling, you're going to get it wrong. Am I speaking to someone? You're going to get it wrong. Now, Esau went on hunting, but unfortunately, it was a bad day for him. He had a fruitless hunting outing. He had no catch. So he came back home hungry and tired and frustrated. You know, if he had for, he came and he saw Jacob cooking pottage. Praise the Lord. You know, and he was desperate for it. You know, if he had a catch, if it was a fruitful hunting, you know, he would have roasted what he had in the field, right? Ate part of it and regained back strength. So it means that it was fruitless. And sometimes your efforts don't yield for you the kind of result that you desire. Amen. But because it didn't yield that result, it's not the time to quit. Say to your neighbor, don't quit yet. Hallelujah. Don't walk away. Don't walk away. He came back home feeling tired and hungry and angry and feeling frustrated. And then he saw Esau cooking. And he desired some. And Esau said, if you can just sell me your birthright with this pottage, just exchange your birthright with the pottage and I will give you enough. Praise the Lord. You will make very cheap, silly, callous decisions when they are made out of desperation. Amen. Don't make decisions out of desperation. That's not the time to make decisions. Don't make decisions out of feeling, based on how you're feeling. When you're feeling that way, a lot of decisions come to your mind. Opinions come to your mind. You hear a lot. People make comments. People say all sorts. Don't allow that influence the steps that you will take. Feelings are always temporal. They're never permanent, and they are never to dictate for you the decisions that you make. You must never allow those feelings dictate for you the decisions that you make. You must base your decision on what you know and what you believe. Knowledge. Everybody say knowledge. Base your decision based on knowledge. So when you're feeling tired, frustrated, angry, actually what you need is a cooling period. Cooling period. And believers will call that kind of season a retreat season. You need somewhere that you just retreat, pull aside and have alone with God time. So you can explain to God how you are feeling. I feel like what Elijah did. Elijah had that season of frustration and he went somewhere and he was crying to God and he said, God, I'm the only one that really loves you. I just want to die. Just kill me. And God spoke to him. Hallelujah. And God spoke to him. And God led him to where he will find nourishment. Where he will be restored. I don't know if I'm speaking to someone this morning. But I feel the Lord is telling me that He's going to bring a full restoration to someone. He will revive and renew you. And He will fully restore you back. Can somebody say amen to that?
Amen.
You want to create a season of alone with God in times of frustrations, times when you feel tired, things have not worked the way you want them to, things are not going the way you've been praying for. Create alone time with God and let God speak to you. Sometimes Satan has a little glimpse into God's plan for you. He can see a little ahead. Can see. Satan knew that. Well, let me put it that way. You may think it's God at it depends on from perspective. You see, it's God at play here, Holy Ghost working. But well, let's look at it this way. Satan knew that Esau was going to be blessed. So what he did was create a frustrating situation to make him take a decision that will ruin everything. Sometimes the devil creates uncomfortability around you. He stirs up the storm, the waters. He makes the wind to blow against you. He makes things appear as if they are falling apart. So you can make decisions based on those circumstances. But the believer must learn to come out and take a time and let God speak to him. Hallelujah. And when you are acting, when you are taking your step forward, you're doing so because you've heard God so clearly, acting based on the knowledge, the instruction, the guidance of the Holy Ghost. Not because you are reacting to the situation. Anytime you set aside the knowledge that you have concerning something, you are acting outside of it, you are acting foolishly. It's foolish. Hallelujah. Wisdom means to act based on your understanding. Foolishness means to act, you know, outside of knowledge. This is what the Bible says. The Bible says, every prudent man dealeth with knowledge, but fools laid open his folly. But a fool laid open his folly. The Amplified says, every prudent man deals with knowledge. Hallelujah. Now, when you look at this scripture, you will see feeling at play. Feeling. People acting based on feeling. Now, for instance, Jacob himself got it all wrong because he refused to act on knowledge. He raised those boys up. He knew them from when they were babies. He spent quality time. Jacob especially spent, not Jacob, Isaac. Isaac especially spent quality time with Esau. He spent more time with Esau than he did with Jacob. He knew them. He knew their voice. And after a season of times, he became blind. And you know when you're blind, your senses heightened up. In his blindness, he was sharp. He could tell who that was. And when Jacob appeared as Esau, He knew that that was a fake. Sorry about that. And when Jacob appeared before Isaac and spoke instantly, based on knowledge, based on his understanding, based on his experience, he knew that was a fake Esau. This is Jacob. This guy is a crook. It's Jacob. I knew him. I've always known that this guy is a crook. He knew. But you know, he decided to set aside knowledge, but to act on feeling. So he said to fake Esau, come near. And then he felt him. He didn't bless him because of his understanding of what he knew, the knowledge he had. How did he act instead? Feelings. He felt him. He said, this is how I feel. I'm just going to just set aside what I know. Ignore the knowledge that I've had. I'll just act based on feeling. Anytime you act on feeling alone, you get it wrong. Am I speaking to someone? Because you feel that way, doesn't mean that that's how it's always going to be. Let the Lord speak to you. You know, this year we've been measuring on knowing the voice of the Holy Spirit, working closely with God, and moving forward in all sphere of your life based on how the Holy Ghost is dealing with you. You must never allow that because this has happened, because you are experiencing this, you make a fundamental decision that may end up ruining you completely. I say that's not your portion. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You are strong inside. You are tough. The Bible says, if thou faintest in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Adversity may come, but it will not overpower you. Why not close your eyes and put your hand on your chest and say, I receive strength. I receive the grace of God to press through until I reach my destiny. In the name of Jesus. I will not tire. In the name of Jesus. I will not draw back. In the name of Jesus. I will not give up. I can endure it. I will break through it. Because I am a victor in Christ Jesus. I am more than a conqueror in Jesus' name. Everybody says amen. Amen. Number two, don't make light of matters of destiny. Don't make light matters of destiny. Don't make light matters of destiny. Esau's birthright. Somehow this guy didn't have a clue what this birthright meant. He would be the father of the patriarchs. He would be the ancestor of Israel, the forefather of the seed of David. The blessing that began in Abraham and to Isaac was to be transferred to him. He made light of it. And he demonstrated that Jacob said, "Well, just trade your birthright to me. Just trade it for this pot of soup." He said, "Well, what's birthright anyway? What's this better? What would it do to me?" And the Bible also recorded that by acting this way, Esau despised his birthright. He treated it so lightly. When you discover what is a matter of destiny, you have to be ready to fight for it. It must be something that you can defend, you make of high value, and something that you cannot easily let go. Praise the Lord. Matters of destiny. I pray that you will not be ignorant about what your destiny is. And when you connect destiny, you will not make light of it. But listen to me, anything that comes from God, anything that is a gift from God to you, has something to do with destiny. Because God is a God of destiny. God does everything for a purpose. The Bible says he doeth all things after the counsel of his will. He brings you into a place because of destiny. He connects you with people because of destiny. Some of the people that he connects you with, they don't look like they can make anything happen to you. He may be only a cleaner today. Amen. A care assistant today. You never can tell. Hallelujah. Never can tell. He brings you into marriage. Let me tell you something. For a believer, the person you get married to, if you are a child of God, the person that you get married to has everything to do with your destiny. Except the person is not given to you by God. He has a lot to do with your destiny. And if that person leaves you, you interrupt something in destiny. And this is the point I'm making. Fight for your marriage. Hallelujah. Do whatever that you can to make it work. Don't let the devil break it. Don't give that Satan that chance. And there would be a lot of issues, like we've said last week, a lot of issues that will arise to make you just want to just walk away. Walk away from people. Walk away from a place. Resign your job. Quit that education that you started. A lot will come. But you see, something that is of value to you may not come cheap, but it's worth fighting for. Anything that you can simply just turn your back away from and walk, it means that you have little value for it. Because something is messed up, something goes wrong with it here and there, you can just turn your back and walk away. It means that you hold little value for it. Jacob had a spirit that sabotaged what he had. He made weighty things appear as light. He treated them as if they are inconsequential. They cannot make any difference in his life. He can walk away from them. He can walk away from them. He can, and still everything will still turn out the way he should be. This is my admonition to you. Anything that is of destiny is worth paying all the price for. It's worth making all the sacrifices for. It's worth fighting for. Be willing to give it all it requires. Don't give it up so cheaply. The kingdom of God suffereth violence. I've told you in Victory Assembly before that the word kingdom is not strictly, exclusively referred to heaven. Kingdom simply means where God rules. What the kingdom of God concerns. The will of God is God's kingdom. Where God's will is done is God's kingdom. Jesus says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Hallelujah. Now, God's will for you is his kingdom. Your portion, which is given to you by God, is what all this is about. Finding out what God is saying, what knowing God's will, God's purpose, God's gift for you. It will suffer attack. The devil will attack it. The devil will resist you. But the violent, they take it forcefully. Amen. Whatever you have is a gift from God. And it has something to do with your destiny. Hallelujah. It has something to do with your destiny. Take it serious. Amen. Take it serious. And I think the first point of call is to look at where you are now, what you're doing now, and see it as a gift from God. And don't joke with it. Where you are now, what you're doing now, what you have now. Except if you have reason to believe that it's a mistake. Take it serious. What did I say? Take it serious. Take your relationship so serious. Take your job serious. Hallelujah. Don't let it go so cheaply. Jacob made light of what he had. And he lost everything. You will not lose what you have. In the mighty name of Jesus. Can you bow down your heads and let's pray together. Thank you, Jesus. Nambredi kali protus pradina kandali.